Welcome to the ANews podcast. This is episode 62 for May 4th, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org. Editorial: Science versus Problem Solving. There's a tension between how things are done in the world and how people of goodwill think they should be done. That's a crazy broad statement, so let me hurry to narrow it down a bit and say that my two clearest examples are science and Christianity. For both, there is absolutely an argument that the significant powers of both institutions are absolutely ill-intentioned as we understand it now, with every desire to control, limit, constrain, and get and keep economic, state, and social power. But the arguments that I get into are not with those ruling people, but the people on the ground who believe that Christianity and or science, okay, usually it's one or the other, but it doesn't have to be, are both tools that are super useful, that the ill comes not from the tool, but from how people use it. There is obviously some similarity here to arguments about tech as well, with one side arguing that exact thing, that tech is not bad, what is bad is how it is used, and the other side resting partially on, as I would put it, a respect for things. We are affected by the things that are around us, from the single-family dwellings that embed assumptions about relationships and family, to cars that imply that we should and can be divorced from our surroundings as we travel, to guns that make it easy to accidentally kill someone, and so on. My examples are all objects and shorthand, but I think the principle translates to ways of thinking. To come at this another way, how do we judge a collection of ideas? Do we look at what people who claim those ideas have done over the years, or do we prioritize the hopes and dreams of some of those who embrace those ideas as the quote-unquote true Christians or true scientists or true anarchists, since we might as well go there too? But that last is a distraction, so let's pretend I didn't say that for now. This actually reminds me of arguments with ANCAPs, who reject my nuanced and complicated definitions of capitalism and insist that capitalism is just a kind of exchange. So what does it mean to insist that science is just a kind of problem solving? Is it fair to call it an issue of semantics because some of us associate complicated bad things with science and other people don't? Is it more interesting to be critical of these fundamental social constructs? Or is it better to limit the things that we focus on and fight against? Obviously, these are subjective questions, and just as obviously, I will continue fighting with people about them until they agree with me. Postscript. I touch on huge topics in this, and I do it very briefly. Maybe people will fight with me and disagree with me about this, and I will be motivated to come back and have more of a conversation about it. What's new this week? Report back from anti-pipeline activities in Virginia, USA. From Zachev, a blog entry on a group visiting a site of resistance to the Mountain Valley Pipeline involving a tree sit, and not getting much play as the resistance is not set up to deal with strangers, apparently. Quote, "We called the number on the sign and had a cordial conversation with an official organizer of the tree sit, who, after a night, still hadn't reached out to us again, so we eventually just went home. We also found a group of organizers at the library who basically interrogated us, a bunch of anarchistic hippies, as to our motivations for coming. They were concerned about security and national, even international, attention on their private land," unquote.
Mayday solidarity appeal by Russian anarchists from freedomnews.org.uk from repression.com/en, which is a site specifically about the Penza arrests in Russian, English, and German. Despite recent support actions, quote, "Russian special services atrocities are not subsiding. Despite direct evidence, state authorities are still denying the fact that our comrades accused of terrorism are being tortured. State media are broadcasting false reports on the case. And finally, there is now a new accused in the case, our comrade Yulian Boyarishnov. All the comrades are still in prison under false accusations. And this means our collective campaign of solidarity needs to get on and get stronger. The May Day is approaching, the global day of resistance for revolutionary and progressive forces. We call all of you, libertarian, revolutionary, and progressive groups and communities, to be with us on this day. At your May Day demonstrations, protests, and events, raise your voice about the struggle and the repressions in Russia. On your banners, in your speeches, in your discussions, with any means you have," unquote.
The Art of Not Being Governed, Hill Peoples and Valley Kingdoms in Mainland Southeast Asia from Void Network. This post is mostly a video of a lecture by James C. Scott lasting an hour and 17 minutes. Scott's work is interesting to anarchists as it points to practical things that anarchists could potentially do to escape state rule, although that capacity would probably have to look differently in an increasingly urbanized world. Quote, "My thesis is simple, suggestive, and controversial. Zomia is the largest remaining region of the world whose peoples have not yet been fully incorporated into nation states. Its days are numbered. Not so very long ago, however, such self-governing peoples were the great majority of humankind. Today, they are seen from the Valley Kingdoms as our living ancestors, what we were like before we discovered wet rice cultivation, Buddhism, and civilization. On the contrary, I argue that Hill Peoples are best understood as runaway, fugitive, maroon communities who have, over the course of two millennia, been fleeing the oppressions of state-making projects in the valleys, slavery, conscription, taxes, corvée labor, epidemics, and warfare," unquote. This thread also has some very interesting commentary.
Riots in Paris 50 years after the May events of 1968. From mainstreamiest Reuters, people in Paris smash shit up, including significant markups of a McDonald's. Since it's a mainstream story, there are lots of quotes from cops and politicians. Quote, "Riot police used tear gas and water cannon to disperse the protesters. Paris Police Chief Michel Dupuis said more than 200 demonstrators had been arrested and four people were lightly injured in the clashes, including a police officer," unquote.
April 2018, 100-year anniversary of the beginning of Bolshevik terror, from CrimeThink. I don't know enough about this phase of Russian history to have any insight into the accuracy or biases of this text. But in general, articles that explain the pretty common occurrence in history of communists murdering anarchists are appropriate in my book. Quote, "Lenin minced no words in arguing that the Bolsheviks would have to constitute the counter-revolution. They were ready to commit any atrocity against the peasants and workers. Their number one priority was to hold on to power, whatever the cost. That counter-revolutionary authoritarianism was visible in the bureaucratization of the Soviets, obvious in the treaty with the imperialist powers, and undeniable in their bloody repression of their allies from the October Revolution, the anarchists," unquote.
Anarchists crash May Day rally in Paris, burning car. From MSM, The Washington Post. Pretty much the same story as the Reuters one above. Anarchists are bad, regular protesters are good. So cute. Quote, "Paris got the worst of it this year. Somewhere between 20 and 55,000 marchers gathered in the capital, according to Reuters, intending to march peacefully against President Emmanuel Macron's plans to roll back labor protections. But about 1,200 masked and hooded protesters, dressed in black, stood on the sidelines, according to the news agency," unquote. But hey, at least this story differentiated between anarchists and anti-fascists. More aware than they let on, apparently.
The Network, How Russian Security Services Are Targeting Russian Anarchists and Anti-Fascists. From opendemocracy.net, a site that describes itself as, quote, "seeking to educate citizens to challenge power and encourage democratic debate across the world with human rights as our central guiding focus and open-mindedness as our method. We ask tough questions about freedom, justice, and democracy," unquote. Last week, we talked about growing information about the torture and falsification of evidence against a group of anarchists and friends in Russia. This article pulls together even more information, including the state tactics with the parents of those arrested, etc. The Network is what the Russian state actors are calling the group that they say exists and justifies holding and tormenting those they've arrested.
Travelogue, for a projectuality in times of war and in times of peace. From mpelothia.net, a mysterious site that is mostly in Greek. This starts out strong, a la the anarchist tension, or what I remember of it, and also DuPont's anarchists must say what only anarchists can say. That is, the role of anarchists is something that shifts based on context, and that what we have is a set of tools to use against reified power. And just as reified power shifts, so we must be flexible. Well, we're struggling through the challenging translation. Quote, "If war is at the heart itself of any state, this organization of force. If the different forms war takes, therefore follow the same and sole logic of dominion. If the massacres of military operations and repression, capitalist exploitation and dumbing operated by power, therefore are but the two sides of the same metal of the order of the world. The paths and suggestions evoked in these lines should not only figure in the travelogue of those who find themselves in the midst of a bloody conflict, but could also help to anyhow develop anarchist projectualities," unquote.
The cops ain't shit, slaps everywhere, and expropriated bike share bikes. More autonomous action in Seattle, from Puget Sound Anarchists. Definitely the busiest thread this week, predictably. This is a communique from a May Day action that had, among other things, some bikes stolen and thrown into a river. While some people got upset about that, throwing things in a river is not necessarily worse environmentally than burning stuff, which is pretty universally accepted protest behavior. So basically everything we do hurts something. That's the world we live in. Quote, in Amsterdam's bike share program, the bikes are free. This means all classes of people can use them. In Amsterdam, these bikes were in part brought into being by anarchists and were a part of reducing harm done by cars and reclaiming the city. If we look at these new capitalist bike shares, we can see that this is a capitalist co-optation of that model. They pay their workers shit. They overcharge. You have to have a smartphone. In China, they waited till they had a monopoly, then jacked up the prices. And they really only care about the money. These people aren't interested in fighting subjugation, they want more subjugation, subjugation under them. And so we fought back, just as the youths in France have, and just like our anarchist forerunners have. Unquote.
Queer Ghosts Haunt Seattle May Day, a report back regarding some autonomous anarchist actions from Puget Sound Anarchists. A briefer communique of a different kind of action for May Day. Quote, our particular autonomous decentralized May Day started precisely around 1 a.m., inspired by the spirit of Bash Back, we took to Capitol Hill to hunt for bigots and street harassers because we are tired of feeling unsafe in the streets and decided to make Capitol Hill unsafe for those toxic to us, women, femmes, trans folk, and queers. One such tactic was having one of our not-passing trans comrades walk around until someone made a bigoted comment, then like crows on a dropped bagel, we swarmed and lightly beat or humiliated said bigot with fists, glitter, and or pig's blood. Another tactic was to have someone who was to have one of our comrades, who would be read as a woman, just walk around and exist in a skirt. And once someone made a sexist or objectifying comment, those of us who had fallen back disguised as normies would then confront the person, and if they started pulling some really vile shit, try and send them to the hospital. Fighting isn't always fun. Struggle is not always glamorous, but for us tonight, it certainly was. Unquote. It's interesting that there was light beating versus trying to send them to the hospital. Were the transphobes less horrible than the normal sexists?
Anarchist zines and pamphlets published in April from Sprout Distro. The final issue of Avalanche, the latest from Anathema, the annual June 11th call-out for solidarity and actions for long-term anarchist prisoners, a pamphlet on, quote, consent-based politics, unquote, a manifesto of libertarian socialism out of Ireland, Negazine from Elephant Editions, The Invisible Ground on Security Culture, and Riot Porn Zine PHL 2017.
Call for International Week of Action Against Fossil Fuel Infrastructure, May 12th through 19th, from Anonymous. Quote, some questions / points to consider. What fossil fuel infrastructure is active in your area? Pipes, mines, refineries, wells, machinery, rigs, supply chains, capital? Where are the choke points and vulnerable areas in these? What can be done to achieve the most disruption relative to risk? What's the social context where you live? What affects people's lives directly and what resonates? What's your relationship to the land and the people there? Any struggle needs a wide variety of tasks to survive, amplify, and generalize. Organization, publication, cooking, writing, art, networking, clandestine and open direct action of many types, all sorts of logistical support. What are the characters and needs of struggles in your area? What are you capable of and inclined towards? What does indigenous life and struggle look like in your area? How has it historically? Unquote.
Sean Swain calls for campaign to get his communication turned back on. Donate at seanswain.noblogs.org. Sean is requesting that people call a list of four people. He gives their names and numbers and addresses and provides the data points that he'd like people to speak to because they're harassing him even more than usual. The first part of the suggested script follows. Quote, I'm calling to bring your attention to an illegal effort by prison officials to terrorize an Ohio prisoner. The prisoner, Sean Swain, is a model prisoner, a published writer, and a radio personality on a globally syndicated radio show. Because Sean exposed how prison employees who were directed by ODRC counsel Trevor Clark intercepted and stole Sean's mail from courts to hide their crimes, prison officials have shut down all of Sean's communication to the outside world, to his family, his friends, and even to the courts. Prison officials are blocking Sean's phone, email, and even regular mail. Their goal is not just to silence him, but to cut him off from everyone who loves him and to drive him to suicide. Unquote. Also, keep writing him. Flooding them with letters can't hurt either.
Media. New video from Woodbine. Coordinates. From Anonymous. This video seems to be saying that things are getting bad and getting worse, and that what there is to combat that are the things that people have already been doing, like acupuncture and getting pizza delivered to occupies. So, Woodbine seems to have gone full crime think, eschewing or mystifying the French theory veneer.
Backwoods, a journal of anarchy and wart cunning from Enemy Combatant. This is Bellamy's overly polite explanation of which green publishing niche this publication is planned to fit. Quote, Black and Green Review and Black Seed each have their strengths and weaknesses. I am glad that both exist and have respect and admiration for the editors for their efforts in what can sometimes feel like projects for which one gets a lot of flack and little appreciation. But we felt our particular focus was not present in either, and we wanted to reach an audience that did not necessarily self-identify as anarchist or interact specifically with those milieus. Unquote. Lol. More to the point, there's info on the contents of this issue, which looks good.
Podcasts, Anarchy Radio, May 1st, 2018, an hour, three calls, things are bad and getting worse.
Thinking Out Loud podcast on anarchy via John Zerzan, 27 minutes. A Jay-Z aficionado linked this interview in the comments for Anarchy Radio this week. It's a mainstream person interviewing Jay-Z, and while it's still Jay-Z making a lot of statements and assumptions, at least he is in conversation with someone who is engaging and questioning his ideas and not just accepting everything that he says. The questions, while entirely center of the road, were both reasonably intelligent and reasonably good faith, and they drew Jay-Z out a little bit about how he thinks and to explain his thinking a little bit. As far as I'm concerned, this really points out that Jay-Z should be having guests on his radio show who are not just people who he thinks agree with him already, but people he considers peers and to whom he feels the need to explain and defend his thinking at least a little, at least once in a while.
The Hotwire 30, May 3rd, 2018, 44 minutes. This starts out with a series of thumbnail descriptions of May Day events around the world, mostly not anarchists and a few explicitly anti-anarchists, and notes as well the state-sponsored celebration in Cuba. The episode spotlights the events in France and Paris specifically, with a brief report back by someone who was there. Then there's a check-in about what's happening with the ZAD, which is dealing with the internal conflict in what seems to be a fascinating way, i.e. individual contracts, not really enough info about how that works, and the state surveillance that is constant. Also a report back from two Puerto Ricans talking about what is up there these days. Alert. The Hot Wire has now officially entered into competition with Jackie over who loves Sean Swain the most.
Of the week, May Day, and days, and days, and days. This year for May Day, we want to talk about not just how to honor our history of struggle and resistance, but also how to continue to grow and adapt to changing circumstances. It is no secret that our enemies evolved to meet what have become our tried and true, and perhaps tired, tactics. Compared to the various anarchist factions that continue to focus on studying and recreating the outmoded and most often failed organizational forms of centuries past, it is easy for what some have come to call the strugglismo tendency to seem downright current, what with their focus on immediate confrontation and so forth. Yet there is a certain way in which actions start to resemble Civil War recreations. The historic 6th annual recreation of Seattle May Day 2012, the first annual grand remembrance of the fiery Portland May Day of 2017. Can we do better? At least in many places, the call for a block, either within larger May Day marches celebrations, or for an independent anarchist block that rally at a particular place, meet at blank park, or even just meet under the black flags, is now met with prepared and masked police force, ready to immediately attack, kettle, and arrest us. On the other hand, it is defeatist to fall back into celebrations that feel no more dangerous than an afternoon picnic. To some extent, this has always been the case. And without arguing that any particular tactic needs to be abandoned always and forever, if the fucking cops can predict how we are going to play a chess game, we need to either figure out a different chess strategy or start playing checkers. What might be some interesting ways to evolve our attacks creatively? What are some of the initiatives and attempts at continuing our antagonism and maybe even build momentum that you find interesting or appealing? Some examples that people might look to could include the various calls for decentralized action that have arisen this year, North Carolina, Pacific Northwest, etc. Occupations that appear and disperse on their own terms like the Olympia Commune,
or looking to the past, such as the Earth Liberation Front's tradition of Earth Night sabotage actions, as opposed to Earth Day celebrations or protests.
So clearly, most of the time when I have this sort of conversation, I try to question the premise. But actually, I'm going to try to not question the premise for this because I'm bored with my own behavior. So I think the first question that this asks of me is, what is the goal of a mass protest? In other words, there is a way in which I have felt like anarchists have sort of served as lambs to a slaughter because of the dominant instinct to do something when a certain day is celebrated, May Day being a clear example. So, for instance, in Montreal, where the anarchists work more closely with the Maoists to make a combative May Day, I feel very uncomfortable or even hostile towards that because I feel like it's incumbent on an anarchist to have its own strategy and its own ideas. So where I'd begin would be to say, if we're going to assume that there are hundreds, if not thousands of people out for May Day, and we want to do something that's explicitly anarchist in that sort of a context, that's where the conversation should begin. So let's say in the case of the Bay Area, and I'm absolutely spitballing here. This, if there's a need to do something, let's say in the public sphere, it would be to either engage in sort of the amorphous sort of old standbys, i.e. police brutality, murder of black people by police in Oakland and other cities. And then there's also more contemporary issues. The Bay Area has been having an economic bubble for a number of years, and so activity that would be directed towards at least some sort of a symbolic representation of that economic activity could be a nice thing to attack. And also, it's worth mentioning that the Bay Area has one stadium that's nearly complete for the Warriors that would be an excellent target for some sort of, at the very least, vandalism. And an upcoming stadium with the a baseball stadium in downtown Oakland. So I think that to be relevant in that context and to say, okay, well, if we want to start a larger conversation at all and do activity that reflects that desire to attack something large, I think the sports thing, it's a little tired, but it does reflect the economic boom that's happening in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what else would do a good job of that. There isn't, like, the strange thing about California and the Bay right now is whatever's happening on the national scale, i.e. the Trump administration, is absolutely not happening here. We have been and will continue to be ignored by the federal government for the next couple of years. But I'm trying to think of there's a recent outrage in the Bay Area around scooters and scooter sharing that could be amusing to intervene in. The obvious target is the stadiums. The stadium in downtown Oakland is just barely beginning, and I think it's not even quite clear where it's going to be located, but we know it's going to be somewhere near the dock and the community college that's down there. So the stadium that's in San Francisco is very close to completion, is my understanding. And this is for the Warriors, which has been the dominant team in the NBA for the last few years. So this is probably the place where you have the most, like, possibility of impact, meaning getting picked up by a national media operation. So then the question is, like, at what level of intensity do you want to do such an attack? Right. Under cloak of night, you can imagine getting past the border fence or border wall if you're aggressive. But then what? So I guess I would begin by saying, study your target. Like, now that I've talked through what a good target would be, of course, the next step is study your target, study it again, have another person attempt to study it with a different sort of point of view, and, choose what level of intensity you want to get involved in. Do you want to get charged with a felony if you get caught, or do you just want to do something that's amusing and perhaps isn't going to get noticed by anybody? Perhaps the better idea would be to make T-shirts. And somehow do something as cute and pithy as the Oakland Anarchist T-shirt for a San Francisco context relating to the Warriors, because the Warriors is a big honking target for anarchists and should be. I think that's where I would begin.
My gosh, I feel like I don't even vaguely know how to follow that up. I guess I, in a similar vein, I don't have such, I don't have so much, as much specifics as you do, but I think we get caught in our own, I do think the thing that the author says about, getting caught in our own, our old patterns, and we repeat ourselves. I do like the notion of varying tactics. I do like the notion of actions by night. And yeah, I, oh, it's funny. I feel like I don't have anything. I don't have anything interesting to contribute here. I don't think that we should have to choose between sabotages and actions and celebrations.
Have you ever gone to a May Day celebration?
I have. I have gone to a couple. I very distinctly remember the Maypole and nearly naked people dancing around it in the middle of the street in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Was that actually for May Day?
I think it was.
Okay.
I thought that that was quite, yeah, that was fantastic.
It felt like 50 people, 50 celebrants?
Maybe. Somewhere between 50 and 100. I remember the bicycle dragging around the sound system and there being very loud music blaring everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was definitely early on in my anarchy, so it was, there was a lot of like, wow, look at what people can do. Mm-hmm. Look at what people do.
I think it was called Reclaim the Streets, now that I'm thinking about it.
That event. You think it was a Reclaim the Streets event?
Yeah, but it might have been on May Day.
I think I'm pretty sure it was a May Day. I have not been to a May Day that looks like a march or looks anything like the May Day that happened in Portland. In Portland last year. I tend to stay away from marches. I tend to stay away from things that cops are at. Yeah, I don't know. I'm older. Those things are harder on my body, I guess. And I usually don't find them interesting. I like the idea of anarchists gathering in mass. But I don't know that I, to what end, I don't know. Usually, especially in the age of the internet, that just ends up in people being arrested. And I don't think that that's ever a good option.
It's hard to imagine in mass anarchists in the Bay Area right now, because of course the downside of the economic boom is that a lot of people have left town.
Yeah.
And then the secondary impact is that I'm not sure we like each other enough or have enough in common to march in mass. In other words, is May Day the kind of event that would actually inspire us to be together for a day? Because I'm not sure that we can stand each other enough to say what would do it. And of course, you know, May Day, I don't necessarily see as my holiday.
I think we touched on this a little bit with the previous topic of the week, where we talked about holidays and celebrations and what's important, and that, and we don't, I don't think we have one of those days anymore. I feel like May Day kind of used to be enough, but I feel like there was also something else every year that would kind of bring everybody together. But maybe I'm just thinking of the Friday night dinner thing before the anarchist book fair in the city, mm-hmm, all those years, sure, ago, that used to just be massive amounts of people. The anarchist cafe. That was so many people. It was amazing to me. Back then it was, for sure. But I don't know that the anarchist cafe like that would draw as many people anymore as it did then.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason.
That was so long ago.
Sure.
There's a reason why they don't do it anymore. We are a lot more fractured, and it feels like that anarchists will say in mass are chasing a lot of other things, and spending less time focusing on other anarchists, for better or worse.
Well, if you were going to pick a day in the year, calendar day in the year, to say this is our day, would it be the end of June, which is Emma Goldman's birthday? You know, is there something like maybe in the days of May to reflect the May of 68 events?
Well, I guess it would depend on what the point were. If the point really were
to create
a day that was symbolic, that everyone wanted to rally around and where everyone would come together, it would probably look something like Emma's birthday. Because more or less, everybody likes Emma.
She's a lady.
She's an icon.
Yes.
And that
it means something.
It's well-deserved. And that would probably be a good way to start, good place to start. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be to celebrate.
Her birthday and mine are just a few days from days apart, so yeah. It could just be a celebration of me.
I'm sure everyone would come for
that. Yeah, I'm sure everyone would come for that.
Absolutely.
If there's one thing that unites everybody.
we could you know, set up a dunking tank. Maybe that would, mm-hmm. that would draw extra people. I think the other direction we'd go to would be to celebrate someone's death, celebrate and turn that into a celebration of their life.
By the way, yesterday was Paul Simon's birthday. No, today.
Today is Paul Simon's birthday. Mm-hmm. Or at least according to the Facebooks, today is Paul Simon's birthday.
No. His daughter posted on Anarchist News.
Did she?
Yes. By the way, this is being recorded on Thursday, a little earlier than usual. Onward. May 3rd.
May 3rd, yeah. So I had mentioned Sacco and Vanzetti before.
The day they were executed.
The day that they were executed.
Do you know when that was?
I don't.
Okay.
There have been anarchists who that day's been really important to them. Maybe the Haymarket affair. A little anarchist, a little less anarchist.
These are ancient events, though, is part of the problem.
And they are ancient events.
Even May of 68 is not 50 years ago.
Yeah. Do we
do late November for Battle of Seattle, the revitalization of the modern anarchist era?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, there are a lot of anarchists doing a lot of time.
Marius's birthday.
Marius's birthday. Maybe the day that somebody was sentenced.
Or it could be June 11th, which is.
Or it could be June 11th. June 11th actually is. I think that's a
solid argument.
And. It's hard to, whatever it is that you want to split hairs about, it's hard to split hairs about supporting anarchist prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, celebrations and whatever that thing is that you did last time you went out and you were in the streets and you were fighting with cops or you were running around or you were messing around in the dark, don't do that thing. Do something else.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. What we do is what we do. Just different names. It's nothing new.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lynn O'Mabel, written by Jackie, produced and narrated by Chisel and a friend. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackheart.com. And for news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, go to anarchistnews.org. The lucky ones are gonna be the first to go.